Senate, and assuming everything goes well, it's signed by the governor and becomes effective January 1st of the following year. Due to time constraints, the request to declare the courthouse a surplus did not make the February deadline. However, each year a number of bills that have been introduced prior to the February deadline are repurposed by amending the original text. This process is referred to as gut and amend. So here, either council or county staff would need to identify a bill that has already been introduced that could be gutted and amended to authorize the sale or otherwise dispose of the courthouse. If such a bill is successfully identified, the amended bill would have to pass both houses by September 11th and be signed by the governor to have an effective date of January 1, 2016 in order to make the county deadline to close escrow on the sale of the courthouse prior to the supervisor leaving office in November 2016. Alternatively, another prospective way to get legislative authorization is to use a budget trailer bill. And each year, a number of blank bills are introduced prior to the deadline with the understanding that they will be used for budget-related matters. Budget trailer bills are passed with the budget near the end of each fiscal year and go into effect as of July 1. The Department of Finance is in charge of those bills, and in order to secure a budget trailer bill, either Los Angeles County or Judicial Council staff would need to obtain the Department of Finance support and cooperation. If Department of Finance support is obtained, then a budget trailer bill will be with an effective date of July 1, 2015 could be obtained and the county's November 2016 deadline met. Judicial Council staff did introduce this topic to the Policies Coordination and Liaison Committee on April 9th and advised the committee that the request to declare the San Pedro Courthouse would be heard by the council on April 17th.
And so we do have the recommendations of the Facilities Policy Work Group. The recommendations is first to declare the San Pedro Courthouse to be surplus property. Also direct staff to report to the legislature that the court facility is a surplus court facility and take all necessary action to obtain the legislative authorization to dispose of the facility in accordance with the government code sections. And also, number three, authorize the sale of the surplus facility to the County of Los Angeles. And also number four, delegate to the administrative director the authority to sign a real property sales agreement. And also we added in that to make sure it's clear and all associated documents necessary to complete the sale, contingent on staffs obtaining the legislature's authorization for the sale as surplus property. And again, the Facilities Policy Working Group will continue to monitor facility-related requests until formal policies are adopted. And then I will take your questions and comments at the end of the Pluma Sierra.
Okay, so for the Pluma Sierra topic, today we are going to be here to consider a prospective lease of the courthouse to a third party. The Pluma Sierra Courthouse was the first court facility constructed by the organization that was the administrative office of the courts. In addition, the courthouse was the first multi-jurisdictional court facility in the state and was used by both the Superior Court of Plumas County and the Superior Court of Sierra County. The building was open for court operations in December 2009 and then closed by both courts in November 2014. Unlike the Los Angeles request, both the Plumas and Sierra Superior Courts do intend to resume court operations at this location as soon as their budgets improve. Okay, in the day-to-day course of judicial branch business, the real estate staff engage in leasing and licensing transactions. We receive notice of courthouse closures, and after we receive the notice, we contact the courts involved. In most cases, the effective courts inform staff that they do intend to reopen their closed facilities as soon as the budget situation improves. And in many instances, the court continues to have furniture and files in the closed facilities, so they do not want the facilities leased out to third parties. However, for today's request, both the Plumas and Sierra courts are willing to allow the facility to be leased out on a temporary basis. This is the first occasion where a 100% court-exclusive judicial branch-owned facility would be leased. While Government Code Section 70392B gives the Judicial Council the authority to provide ongoing oversight, management, operation, and maintenance of facilities used by the trial courts, Our legal services office determined that the council must approve this request because the courthouse is no longer being used by either the Plumas or Sierra Courts. When staff first went to the working group to review the request, the working group asked what legal authority supported the council's ability to lease the facility. Per 70391A, the council does have the responsibility, jurisdiction, control, and authority as an owner does, including for this item. And so when the legislature used the phrase as an owner would in 70391A to describe the council's authority, it may use or dispose of it subject only to general laws, and therefore we may go ahead and lease the courthouse. So the working group looked at a number of items, including pros and cons. Let me skip ahead to that. And those are detailed on page 6 of the report. And the items in support of it was that lease revenue would offset statewide operations and maintenance expenses. The ongoing occupancy would prevent blight. It helps keep the facility secure, deters vandalism, and it shows that the judicial branch is finding a solution for a financial problem. Cons, of course, include potential damage to the facility, a tenant perhaps not being able to meet financial obligations, and a public perception issue. Okay. Because both of the courts would like to get back into the buildings within the next 3 to 5 years, we had discussed entering into a 5-year lease subject to early termination after 3 years. It would be as is on a triple net basis, which means that the occupant is completely responsible for all costs of the facility, including maintenance of all of the systems, landscaping, etc. And in the lease itself, there would be a number of terms as detailed in the report to protect the judicial branch asset.
And then we'll go to the recommendations. And as I go to the recommendations, just thank Ms. Galbraith Banks for an enormous amount of work went into this. And, you know, because of time constraints, we're having her move forward through it. But I just wanted to say thank you so very much for all the energy and effort you put into it. And there's a lot here. So if there's any questions, we can answer them, but we'll move forward. The recommendations from the facility working group is authorize staff to negotiate with third parties to lease the Plumas Sierra Courthouse and delegate to the administrative director the authority to sign a lease and any associated documents. And again, the Facilities Policy Working Group will continue to monitor facilities-related requests until formal policies are adopted. We will take any motions and any questions
Judge
at this time.
Judge McCabe, Justice Hull, Judge Rosenberg, and Ms. Pohl.
Thank you, Chief. First, I note regarding the Los Angeles property in San Pedro, in addition to a letter from the County of Los Angeles' Chief Executive Office indicating their intent to purchase the property. There's also a letter from Los Angeles Superior Court CEO Sherry Carter in support of the council's decision to declare the courthouse to be surplus property. Consequently, I move to adopt the recommendations first for the LA court that's found on page 2 of the memorandum, and then for the Plumas court that's found on page 1 of that memorandum. It seems to be reasonable, and I think given that this doesn't appear to be controversial and it has support in addition to 2 emails from the Plumas folks on this property that will clump it together.
And I just need to add something to the second as well. It's just on your documents, you don't have the words and associated documents necessary to complete the sale. So adding that in there as well.
Would do that.
Okay. Who is the second on that?
I'll second.
Second by Judge Stout. Thank you. Justice Hull.
Yes. Excuse me. Just 2 quick questions in going through the materials. We're obligated to offer the property, the San Pedro property, to the county at fair market value. If there's a difference of opinion as to fair market value, how is that resolved?
Generally, that's an item that is negotiated by staff. We look at the appraisal as, I want to say, a ballpark of market value, and then we negotiate from there.
I see. Okay.
We also do have the Facilities Policy Working Group that will also be interjecting themselves in the process when necessary. But it's up to the Administrative Director and his staff to do their job, but the Facility Policy Working Group is just at the oversight to make sure that there's consistency.
I'm sorry, Judge. In the event that the county changes its mind and we're able to offer it to third parties, are we still restricted to fair market value, or is that an open negotiation at that point?
We have not done this before, but I would think that it would be open for negotiation using the appraisal as the starting number.
Very good. Thank you. And then lastly, where once we obtain the funds from the sale of the facility, where do the funds go? Into what pocket?
She's going to give us the official term.
Yeah, the official fund, I know some folks refer to it as the rainy day fund.
To the state.
The economic, where is that?
It goes to the
state. The deficit recovery bond retirement sinking fund.
So that's not a judicial council fund, that's a state fund.
That is not, that's correct.
So basically what we're doing, and I agree with it, but what we're doing, we're not gaining any revenue, we're cutting our expenses by undergoing this particular transaction. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Judge Rosenberg and then Deborah Poles.
I certainly support the motion, but my only question is I can't get my head around who would lease that Plumasier facility since it's configured to be a courthouse and a courtroom. What kind of tenant could they possibly hope to obtain?
There's two.
I understand there's a charter school in the city of Petrola.
Correct. There's two folks that are interested, the city and a charter school. And even though it's a charter school, they are not interested in revising the building or doing anything, making any remodeling as is.
So they could, for example, use the courtroom as a classroom?
As is.
Okay.
With the understanding that it's a short lease and that the court intends to reoccupy.
Yeah, there you go. Good point. I had a similar question. I saw in materials that the tenant would be responsible for restoring the property to its pre-lease conditions. So my question was whether or not there would be any tenant improvements, and if there were, would that be included under that clause, restoring to pre-lease conditions?
In discussions with both the city and the charter school, neither one of them have notified us that they have any intention of changing the facility. But if there were, we would, of course, require restoration.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. So Judge McCabe has moved the recommendations for both agenda items. Did I hear a second?
Yes, Judge Stout.
Thank you, Judge Stout. Any further discussion? I don't see any hands raised. All in favor of these recommendations, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you. We are in uncharted territory. We look forward to hearing the results. Thank you. We conclude today's meeting. Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. We have enough for a quorum. We made sure for that when we took the vote. But are there any opposed? Thank you. Motion carries unanimously.